had made his heart race. Ryan thought back to the redoubts. Not all of them held gateways, he knew that from experience. But since they'd first discovered how to make jumps back in the darks, he seemed to have moved only through the Matran system. Ahead of him, the wide passage was dividing, some fallen slabs of reinforced concrete showing what was probably old nuke damage, either direct from missile hits or indirect from earth shifts. It felt strange to be on his own, with nobody to consult, no Christy to ask what she felt around them, no JB to check his opinion. He decided to check out the corridor that wound upward. The snow was thicker, drifted into neat piles against the walls, and it creaked under his boots. He stopped to wind his scarf over his nose and mouth. It was so cold that ice was forming in his nostrils, making breathing uncomfortable. Ryan found more and more evidence of positive nuking damage. This redoubt had suffered some extreme prejudice at enemy hands, meaning it was probably a particularly important establishment. It clearly hadn't been neutron bombing either, taking out life and leaving buildings. These must have been old-fashioned nukes that simply knocked the shit out of everything and everyone. Walls were scarred, bare metal supports showing through in places, rust red. Huge chunks of ceiling had fallen, making it hard to scramble by. At one point, a large arrow was daubed on the wall, pointing into the deeps of the complex. The light grew stronger. Ryan glanced at his wrist chron. It had been early morning when they'd left the New Mexico homestead. It took less than 2 hours to make the jump that had brought them to this frozen place, another hour or so on recovering and on the fight with the Cuddlies. It should be close to midday.
1400.
Somewhere along the line, a couple of hours had gone missing. There were so many things about the Matran system that were inexplicable. Less than 100 paces farther on, Ryan found himself out in the open. He hesitated, keeping within the shadowed mouth of the cavern. Here, the damage was total. There wasn't any way of being sure, but it looked to Ryan as though the redoubt had once extended a good deal farther. But there'd obviously been a number of direct hits by nukes, hitting the sectors and demolishing them in explosions of almost unbelievable intensity. Outside, there was a day of fierce dullness. A leaden sky squatted over the surrounding mountains, leaking occasional random flakes of uncertain snow. Ryan was high above a valley. A steep trail picked its cautious way down the flank of the mountain toward a frozen river at the bottom. Layers of mist sliced into each other, rendering it difficult to make out what was happening at the lower end of the narrow roadway. There appeared to be some kind of industrial complex, with a broad highway running parallel to the river, and dark tunnels that vanished into the steep crags opposite. Ryan shaded his eye with his hand, peering into the sighing depths 2,000 feet below him, trying to make out what was happening. It looked like a mine, with several shafts. There were a number of buildings, some with smoke or steam billowing from them. Close by the river, there was what could have been a spoil tip, covered in snow, but with a pale yellow streak running from it into the water.
Sulfur?
There was a wide variety of mines scattered throughout the Deathlands. Some of the older minerals, like gold, silver, and platinum, were now of very little value. With scant industry, it was the older basics like coal, iron, and lead that mattered. And sulfur was useful to make many things, most notably explosives. It was also, Ryan knew, in very short supply. If the scene below him was a substantial sulfur mine, then it would represent enough jack to turn a man into a baron overnight. And what if that man happened to be Major Commissar Grigory Zemyanin? The mist was thickening, and the snow was beginning to fall with a more serious sense of purpose. Ryan looked once into the valley, deciding that he really didn't want to pick his way down that exposed trail. If it was Zemyanin, then it would be very surprising if there weren't armed guards all over the place, probably with glasses, monitoring the area all around. From above, it appeared that there was only one road into the site, though the head of the Longbox Canyon had a faint track smeared across the sheer face at its end. It would make more sense to try to get down into the occupied zone during the hours of darkness, which meant finding somewhere to hole up until then. He retreated along the corridor until he found the place where it had split, turned, and went along the second passage. It dipped and climbed, with no side turnings and no doors of any sort. The lights were worse, with only one of eight working. Ryan was able to see that this was the way less used, There was little driven snow, and only the faintest of boot marks. Eventually, even those vanished. It was a puzzle why the corridor went such a long way without getting anywhere. Ryan guessed he'd walked over a mile along a featureless tunnel. When he glanced up, surprised to find no Sekvids at all, he spotted the height of the ceiling and the heavy-duty brackets fixed there at intervals.
Monorail wags.
This wasn't a normal corridor like in other redoubts. This was a communication link between two totally separate sections of the military complex. In the days before the endless frosts, there would have been little metal cars suspended from an overhead rail, whisking personnel at high speed from one part of the redoubt to the next. Ryan had walked for more than an hour. He was sweating, his coat unbuttoned. He'd noticed that the lights were getting stronger again, with nearly 50% of them functioning perfectly. And there were bones. In the 4 weary miles of passages, there'd been skeletons of a variety of wildlife that had crept into the redoubt and died there, of either starvation or thirst. Only one was human, the brittle clothes indicating he died many years earlier. And the manner of his passing was clear. The bones were entangled with those of a middle-sized bear. A rusting iron spear was buried in the hollowed ribcage of the animal, piercing the ragged shreds of hide. Ryan stopped to eat, sipping sparingly at his canteen. He looked ahead of him, then back. It was impossible to tell which was which. Both looked utterly, blankly identical. But Ryan knew. He'd been blessed since his early youth with an excellent sense of direction. He carefully corked the canteen and pressed on, past the heap of white bones. It was another mile before he finally reached the sectors. By now, he guessed that he must have traveled almost through the mountain, well into another valley, or possibly much farther down the present one. Either way, he was a long ways off from the mine, and probably farther away from his son.
Closed. Fire blast. Gotta stop talking to myself. The first sign of turning shithouse rat-crazed.
They were massive vanadium steel doors, running from floor to ceiling, with not enough room to get a gnat's wing through the gap. Ryan closed his eye. It was a double bastard that meant he'd have to walk partway back and then find some corner to curl up and sleep in. There was a sign to the right of the doors, Security Weapons Research Unit, closed access. Personnel cleared C5 and above. Must carry and show passes at all times. Warning, this means you. Sec traps set. Termination levels apply. Project Styx, subordinated over Project Whisper, com, sec, C-A-W-E-A-R-E-S. It was one of the longest notices that Ryan had ever seen, and one of the most meaningless, though he didn't like the sound of sec traps, and termination level had a finite ring to it. But since he couldn't get in through locked sec doors, none of it mattered very much anyway. He banged his fist on the dark green door. He was already turning away from it, when he realized something extraordinary. The door had moved. Ryan shook his head. Maybe the place was getting to him. He pushed gently against the cold steel. It did move. Only a fraction of an inch, but it had definitely moved. He leaned against it, using all of his strength. The sec door began to open. Half an inch, 6 inches. At 2 feet, Ryan stopped pushing and peered through the gap, sticking out his tongue to try to taste the air. It tasted stale, but breathable. Just what he'd have hoped for in a section of a redoubt that had been sealed off for about a century. The light was much brighter inside. Ryan could see a kind of entrance hall, about 100 feet across, with several smaller sec doors leading off it. All were shut. The floor was patterned with zigzag black and white squares, with silver wire in between the large tiles. Blaster in hand, Ryan slipped through the part-open doorway into the weapons research unit of the complex. Somewhere to his right, from a large black box with dancing green lights, he heard a faint click. Ryan moved forward. To his surprise, he found that they were made of metal. Somewhere behind the walls, in the utter silence, Ryan could hear a humming, swelling noise, becoming louder, sounding like a generator building up a powerful electrical charge.
Sec traps. Termination levels.
Then, before his brain could make all the connections, the murderous booby trap engaged. Ryan's fighting reflexes had sustained him